All right. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Zach, and you're listening to Nintendo Dads. And Nintendo Dads is brought to you by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/Nintendo Dads. For even $1 a month, you can show your gratitude and support for us by supporting us over at patreon.com/Nintendo Dads. To all of our patrons, you guys are quite literally the best. Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode number 78. On tonight's episode, we're joined by Sean Capri from We the Gamercast to discuss the week's news, including a bunch of dots that Justin didn't fill in the notes. But that's okay. I literally am Ron Burgundy in this moment, plus your questions and more. Hey, Zach, myself, cue the music. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is obscured by this thing on my phone, May 19th, 2016. Joining me tonight, first off, is the king of VGTribune.com, Jesse Waldock. What's going on, Jesse?
Speaking of obscured, yeah, sure. I completely missed your little intro because I was talking to my wife, and when I come back and I'm hearing laughter, so I'm like, something happened, I missed it, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to
Justin
tape.
He literally left, like, he wrote most of the intro and then there's just like a bunch of dots in the middle here where he normally would say fancy stuff, and he left. By the way, Justin Masson, of course, not here tonight. He's leaving for Leprechaun Land soon, and he's putting first things first and spending the night with his family, which I think is awesome, so he is excused. But joining in his stead is, of course, Sean Capri from We the Gamercast. Sean, what's going on, man?
Well, I wish Justin was here because I wanted to tell him to go ahead and shake the King of Ireland's hand, Bono. Of course, we all know Bono is the King of Ireland, a big U2 fan. So I'm jealous that Justin's heading on over to Ireland. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and of course, because he's going to Ireland, it's absolutely guaranteed that he will be meeting Bono for sure, right? That's how that works. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding.
I think he's everywhere. Yeah, he's just walking down the streets of Ireland.
He literally is just standing at the airport the entire time.
Just greeting people.
he is like the greeter of Ireland. They just hire
Please
him.
Please recognize me.
Nice. Right on. Well, thanks for joining us, man. It's great to have a fellow Canadian, a fellow Edmontonian. Is that what we call ourselves? Is that a thing?
I guess so, yep.
Nice.
That's the thing.
Right on.
Yeah, dream come true. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
If it wasn't before, it is now.
Yeah. A nightmare is come true for, I imagine. But right on. Okay, cool. Well, we don't have a ton to talk about, but, you know, like, it was kind of a light-ish news week. There was a couple of weird things. This is we're in the weird space right before E3 where everybody kind of goes on radio silence, so... yeah. Anyways, let's head into the news, shall we? Right on. Oh, by the way, the absence of the do it thing. Jesse, did you see the email we got this week? I kind of just want to find it now. I'm not going to read out the name of the person here, but I want to read it because I think it's hilarious.
I'll look for it. I think I should be able to find it on my iPad.
Here we go. Whoa. I'm gonna read it. It's very, very short. Is it, Justin, stop saying do it. It's unnatural, makes you sound terrible, and frankly hurts my ears. It sucks and makes you suck. Stop it. Please tell us how you really feel. Wow.
I was gonna say.
And then Justin went to the effort of saying something really sort of kind and thoughtful back. And to that I say, that's wonderful. So anyways, I just thought I'd share that with the world. I don't even know how Justin's going to feel about me sharing that with everybody. But there you go. I thought that was worth sharing. Of course, our news is brought to you by OneUpBox.com. OneUpBox.com is a wonderful, awesome service. A monthly mail you awesome stuff service. And if you want to go over there, I mean, you can go over to our YouTube channel. Justin and his kids have been opening up the monthly box for a few months now. And if you use the code NintendoDads, you get $3 off of your first box, which is awesome. So check those guys out, and we appreciate their support of the show. So, again, like I said, there's not a whole lot of news. The first thing that we have in the notes here is Nintendo is getting into the movie making business. In fact, maybe this even ties into sort of their general, how do you even say this? Their sort of restated purpose. It's really interesting that Nintendo is rebranding, not even just rebranding, but it's kind of redefining itself as a company. And I think that this is a big part of, you know, with Kimishima coming on board, we're really starting to see, the company, if you want to say diversifying is the word, so like later, just the third thing
being more of an entertainment company more than just a gaming company.
Exactly. I'm actually going to jump to this article that says Nintendo outlines the company's new purpose. So it's revised its articles of incorporation. This is from MyNintendoNews.com. It says its articles of incorporation, which is basically an outline for the products it produces. The Kyoto company is looking to branch out to here's some weird thing: medical and health devices, computer software, eating establishments, and IP licensing. So those are an interesting, some of those are a little bit interesting, like eating establishments. Is that already a thing that they do?
So when you get sick from eating the Yoshi burger, you can go see Dr. Mario?
Yeah. So like the medical and health services, obviously, that's like the quality of life. Computer software, which arguably is video games, right? They, like you say, computer software instead of video games, but really video games, even if it's on proprietary hardware, it really is just computer software. Eating establishments and IP licensing, which probably ties into the news as well that Nintendo is getting into the movie making business. Here we go. So an interview with Kimishima confirmed that Nintendo will handle most of the work on films with their properties, but are also willing to give other production companies the opportunity to use Nintendo properties for an unspecified fee. Whatever the project becomes, it is still 2 to 3 years from being completed. So there's some sort of movie in the works. What do you guys think, man? Like, what is this? All of this news of Nintendo kind of branching out into new realms, I think, is really, really interesting. I don't know. Sean, what do you think, man? Like, what are your thoughts on this?
So the optimist in me thinks this is awesome. It makes me really excited that Nintendo is looking in new areas. But the sort of jaded Nintendo fan is terrified of this. I mean, this is sort of new territory in many ways. And the one experience that we've had with movies and Nintendo wasn't really a great one. We all remember John Leguizamo as Luigi Mario in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Bob Hoskins and who's the bad guy in that one? Who's Bowser?
I don't even know.
It's awful. He's a well-known guy.
Dustin Hopper.
I was gonna say Hoffman. Yeah, I was stuck on not.
You're thinking of Hook, man.
I know. Well, that's the thing. So I think they learned quite a bit. I can't believe actually it's been that long since we've seen anything really from Nintendo and movies. If there's anything really that excites me about Nintendo and movies now is that more than just video game movies, but I think comic book movies have shown us a way to translate source material into really good movies. So if there was a time for Nintendo to jump into movies, this is a good time. We know
DC is still
fans
learning.
Know what to expect. DC is learning, yes.
Are they though? Well, we know are they really?
We know Nintendo is. Okay. We're watching.
I hope that they're learning. I hope that they learned from whatever happened in the last one.
that is a topic that will derail us.
One thing, process of learning.
I do hope that Nintendo does kind of keep an open eye on what's going on to keep their IPs pure keep the similar meaning as they do in the games, because they had no oversight in the Mario Brothers movie at all. Mm-hmm. But I've heard the development of that was just development hell in the first place.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of a lot of the creative decisions were obviously not in Nintendo's hands for that movie, right? Like, I don't think that anybody in Nintendo was saying, you know what's a great idea is John Leguizamo. He is the man for the job. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because
he's tall and lanky.
When you have the actors having to have a few drinks before they go on camera, yeah, that's kind of telling.
Yeah, he's just to get through it.
They're not even into it themselves.
You know, it's interesting because another company that is really getting into the movie making, another video game company that's getting into sort of the visual storytelling side that I think is doing it. I'm nervous about the movie, but is Blizzard with the Warcraft movie that's come out. They really maintained a lot of creative control, I think, over, you know, from what I've seen. I've been a huge Blizzard fan for a long time. And so like with the Warcraft movie that's coming out, I hope it's good. I don't know. We'll probably do an After Dark on that. But the other thing about it, if you haven't been following along with Overwatch, have either of you guys watched the cinematic shorts for Overwatch?
I think I've seen one or two.
Yeah, there's three of them. There's three of them currently. And man, like if you haven't seen the cinematics that come out of Blizzard, you know, World of Warcraft, they've had those cinematics that come out. Their cinematic department in general is just really, really good.
I didn't get far into Diablo 3, but the cutscenes from that were pretty good.
Yeah, and like
I remember their cinematics from Warcraft 2. I remember talking like it was a strategy game, and you're sitting there watching the movies beforehand,
and you're just like, "Oh man, this is so good!" Right? Like
it was. Yep.
And the Overwatch ones in particular, like just look up Overwatch on YouTube. Like this original cinematic reveal trailer was super good. Like I still have, I've probably watched that easily a dozen times, Even just this week, they released a new one. There's like a cyborg ninja in it who's like fighting his like brother or whatever. It's super good. It's real, and I love what they're doing. I wonder though, like, what is Nintendo? Is Nintendo the? I don't know. It seems like they want to put their own stuff in there. What we have seen from them was what, the Pikmin shorts. And this new Star Fox Zero short, which was, it was kind of outsourced though, right? Like it was some other studio that produced or that actually created it for them. And I guess Nintendo probably provided the input for it though. I don't know.
Yeah. It could be a really safe test for them too, right? Where, I mean, pretty low risk, low impact, probably not a whole lot of investment, but like as Nintendo, them saying, let's see what this model actually looks like when we lend out our IP to other studios to create something out of it. Could be really interesting. It's no longer the rule that a video game movie is going to be bad. We haven't quite flipped the script on that 100%. I think we still get some good, some bad, but it used to be at a time where no matter what, this thing is going to be a pile of trash.
So did you see the Prince of Persia movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
What was your thoughts on that?
I thought for a video game movie
it was pretty good. Yeah. For a movie, it was very meh.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a live action Lion King.
It's funny because like a couple of weeks ago, you're almost
dead on to that.
It's funny because when Justin and I were at the Calgary Expo, when was that? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? We went to a panel with Charles Martinet, and he was dropping weird hints. He actually, there was a point where he dropped a weird hint about how he was doing. He had some sort of a something, and all he said was, "Oh, you know, like with some company with like some big ears or something." And Justin and I both kind of gave each other like a weird look, and we're like, "Wait, what?" And we're like, "Oh, wait a minute, Wreck-It Ralph 2. That's probably." You know, that sort of a thing. There's been rumors for a long time that Mario was going to be in Wreck-It Ralph 2. So, but it makes me think too, like, okay, well, if Charles Martinet is like already, you know, going onto like the Disney campus or whatever you want to call it, is it that far removed to think maybe, I think Disney is a perfect, you know, company to pair with to do like some sort of a Mario movie if they were to do that, like go straight up animated. Let's make this a real deal. I think that'd be great. But
I think most things they do would almost have to be animated. you know, maybe a Zelda might be able to pull off a live action.
You don't want a live, because if you do live action, you're either going to go with something that's super serious or you're going to get, excuse me, princess, you know? I don't think Zelda's a good choice. Like, I really don't.
Maybe Metroid? Did you see that short that was done a few months ago?
Yeah, like, I think...
That was really good.
I honestly still think...
Jessica Chobot, I think, was that who that was?
Yeah. Yeah, so do we have a question about this? I'm looking at this here. Okay, so we did actually get a question from Twitter. I didn't actually copy the names. Dang it. That we have in our Twitter questions later, but we might as well bring it up now. I'm gonna just look up what the actual who actually asked this question. Oh, it was Michael Burgett on Twitter asked us, what are the first anime movies you think Nintendo will make with their new production? So, Jesse, what do you think, man? What is, like, if they start anywhere, where do they start? And have they specifically said anime movies? Like, was that a thing?
I don't think they did, but definitely I would imagine it'd be it's on the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said before, almost anything would have to be anime, with very few IPs would work live action.
I want to see anime versus more... animated, right? Like
Right.
Right. Well, like animated versus anime. Versus...
I'd say no. I think it just depends on the studio. If you're going to pick a Japanese studio, it's going to be anime.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. If you want it to be more, you know, Western animation, you know, then hire Disney or DreamWorks or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on the company they use to do it. But
I see Nintendo and Disney being direct competition. Bobby and I were talking about this on our show if we ran Nintendo, and I see them being like Mickey and Mario, being similar to how Sonic and Mario were pitched against each other back in the 90s. I don't actually see any collaboration. I think they're going straight at Disney instead of. So I think, yeah, maybe like Spielberg's DreamWorks or somewhere else, or maybe they grow something in-house, some sort of movie studio in-house. I don't see real collaboration with Disney outside of like the little cameos in Wreck-It Ralph and things like that.
Yeah, see,
but for anime, I love that. I love that we're directing this to anime, because I just finished playing Fire Emblem Fates, and what a perfect anime.
Yes.
I don't want really to see a Mario movie. I don't really want to see a Zelda movie. I get really scared about the iterations that we've already seen with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and then the Link that showed up on Fridays. With Excuse Me, Princess, I like where Nintendo is going with expanding our perception. Like, what is the first thing we think of when we think Nintendo? We all think Mario, we all think Link. But, Jesse, you said Metroid. Let's think Animal Crossing. Let's think Fire Emblem. Let's expand.
Can you imagine that?
I want to see more of the Star Fox short.
I think Animal Crossing
with mobile. Maybe, probably not the best movie, I don't think.
Can you imagine, I'm thinking almost like a Peanut style... Or like some sort of like an ensemble animated sort of thing, where it's just like Peanuts with Animal Crossing characters. That'd be hilarious. I would love that.
Definitely.
Oh, that'd be so good.
There actually is
that's a freebie, Nintendo.
Animal Crossing movie that was done in Japan. I'm trying to see if I can find the year.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. Like some sort of a here's a cast of characters, and the entire town worth of Animal Crossing characters would be great. And I mean, they've got so many characters to choose from there, and they all just need, like, with that kind of a production, you just need to have every character has their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which every character pretty much already has in Animal Crossing. They've mm-hmm. already got like. Oh, look, it's Stitches. He's the teddy bear that is, you know, like, and that's literally all you got to be. And he's the little kid, you know, the little mm-hmm. naive whatever, right? And just every single character would have something like that.
Here's the thing. We now live in a world where Angry Birds the movie exists.
Yeah.
So anything goes. You can make a movie out of anything now.
And what I've heard is getting better reviews than Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also seems like Angry Birds had more production clout than Ratchet and Clank did too. They had the big name actors. They had money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That Animal Crossing movie that was done in Japan was done in 2006. So 10 years ago already.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. That's cool. So, okay, so Animal Crossing, you said Fire Emblem Fates would be a cool one.
I love Fire Emblem anime, definitely.
Yeah. I think they could do a Splatoon one as well. Like, Splatoon totally lends itself to just, like, straight-up Saturday morning cartoons, you know?
Yep.
Like, that's...
I'm looking over your shoulder at Pikmin, too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Pikmin... Well, did you see the Pikmin shorts that they made, that Miyamoto
yes,
was...
Yes, exactly!
Yeah. Yeah, I still watch those every once in a while, too. Those are pretty awesome.
I still haven't seen them yet.
Oh, dude.
They haven't broken down.
Yeah, no, I honestly think... Watch them if you are going to buy them, which, you know... do it on the 3DS. I actually liked it more on the 3DS. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. They're that's just because they are in 3D.
It seems like we're picking out little examples of them trying this before. So maybe this isn't so crazy as we might think off the top.
Is it? Well, here's the thing is like, do we want them to jump straight to full movies or do we want them to, again, I'm kind of going back to this to like, I have been loving what Blizzard has been doing with the Overwatch shorts, specifically they're like 10 minutes or so each. It's just like a snapshot, right? Let's just show something really cool. And even the Star Fox Zero short that they did, I almost would prefer them to do shorts because I feel like that it almost lends itself better to video games anyways, because then let's just have a cool little thing that happens and you watch it and it's cool and then it's done. Whereas if you do a movie, a lot of times you have to put filler in there and you've got to flesh out these characters or this setting or whatever in more, almost to a point where it bogs down the experience or it bogs down what's going on. Right.
Cause that's never happened with games.
No, exactly. Right. Like,
well, with games, you start to see them move towards episodic content, so that it's not so risky. You only get one shot at a movie.
Referring to Skyward Sword, that is like 20 hours too long.
Exactly.
Well, that's
right?
Fair too.
That's what happens. Whereas, like, what really makes video game characters so cool and so exciting is that you get to watch them do things that are cool, or do things that are awesome. And if you put too much in, especially Nintendo characters, like let's be fair, like Nintendo games are not exactly, you know, narrative masterpieces for the most part. It's all about what looks awesome, what feels awesome, all that sort of stuff. So,
well, we have a Lego movie too. So
yeah, that's true.
Other M the movie.
Other M the movie.
Oh. I see huge potential for Metroid, and I'd really like to see Nintendo take Metroid in a more mature direction. I think a movie would be a really good sort of like transitional piece to say like this is the new universe for Samus to adventure around in. It's not quite as bright, but maybe it's a little darker, a little grungier, because I think Nintendo, for their next generation of consoles, they need to have some first party content that makes other more mature content feel more at home. Because you don't think of Call of Duty or some of these more, I don't know, hard, like core gaming experiences. You don't think of them when you think of a Nintendo console, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because Nintendo doesn't put the first foot forward. With Sony and Xbox, they have plenty of examples of mature content that they're doing first party. And then everybody else goes, oh, that works, so we can do that there as well. Nintendo needs to sort of expand its own horizons. Otherwise, it's a box created for the games that they create, and anything else just sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, they need to.
So
they
a movie
need,
could do that well.
They need to set the tone, because I mean, we already see kind of going to this whole new company purpose. They're already trying to break that mold that has been set for them previously, and they need to kind of redefine themselves. And I think a good mature movie could be a really important part of that, and say, hey guys, this is not like yes, Nintendo is fun. Yes, Nintendo is a family friendly system, but it's also a place that if you're looking for something a little bit more edgy, a little bit more mature, we have made efforts to make space for you as well, because I don't think that they've done that very well in the past several years.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it needs to go like over the top. Like now Samus has a chainsaw and she's slicing people in too, but I mean, like with Disney, they have different examples of things that are fluffy, and then they've got things that are a little bit more grown up, or maybe even teenage, like Tron is maybe kind of the example I'm kind of thinking. It's not quite as,
or even
Mickey
Marvel
Mouse.
Like I think that they do a lot of that with Marvel recently, right? Mm-hmm. With their acquisition of Marvel and Star Wars. Like Nintendo needs to have the Marvel and Star Wars side of their, you know, they've got the Disney side of their company down, but the Marvel slash Star Wars side, I think they could really do a lot to bring that up. So
totally
right on. Michael, thanks for your question. And yeah, we just covered that one now, so we're good to go. Cool. So any other thoughts about that before we move on, guys? I think that's pretty much it. So we said, there you go. So next up, Yo-Kai Watch 2 was announced for European and North American distribution and sale. I don't know why I said it that way. September 30th. Now, this game, of course,
available for purchase.
Available for purchase at the recommended retail price. yeah, so the September 30th, of course, this game came out. What did we say before this show started, Jesse? 2 years ago?
Yes, somewhere like summer 2014-ish.
Yeah. So, I mean,
in Japan.
Yeah, like last year's Yo-Kai Watch 3 came out in Japan. And so we're playing catch up over here. It's good that they are getting out of the way of Pokemon. You can tell that they're releasing it earlier this year, so it's out of the way. You know, they don't want to get in their way. It's not as big of a success over here as it is in Japan, though, not by a long shot. So we'll see. My son, though, I think one great thing that they did was the Yo-Kai Watch TV show is now on Netflix. Pretty sure my son watched the entire thing within like 2 weeks of it being on Netflix. So he loves it.
I remember it being released here pretty unceremoniously.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I feel like something like that needs a bigger something else around it, like maybe a new 3DS, I don't know. It just seemed like it just
a new 2DS. Happened.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, don't even go there.
Let's be reasonable. No,
I mean,
totally.
Obviously, that's the next logical step. But yeah, it needed something else along with it, I think.
Totally. Yeah, and well, I mean, even the, it seemed like their whole multimedia, whatever, you know, the TV show and everything, and it seemed like they all kind of stumbled out of the gate randomly at different times. Like, even at Christmas, you couldn't even really find any Yo-Kai Watch toys, and then suddenly, like, January 1st, suddenly there's a Yo-Kai Watch available at Toys R Us. You know, like, mm-hmm. it was just weird. So maybe this year is the problem is that now they have to go toe to toe with Pokemon Sun and Moon. So luckily they'll be out in September, and then they've got a whole 2 months to gain popularity before Sun and Moon come out. But
then, like Pokemon, they're doing the 2 version format.
Are they really for this one? I didn't see that.
Yo-Kai Watch 2 Bony Spirits and Yo-Kai Watch 2 Fleshy Souls.
They actually said bony and fleshy. Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, somebody did not run that by the PR people or the.
No, they totally did.
Oh my gosh. Or either
Lupin, and that's the mature stuff that we're talking about before.
Yeah, there we go. That's the Star Wars. Oh my gosh, bony and fleshy. That's terrible. Okay, what are they really? Yo-Kai Watch 2.
Thank you, level 5.
That is level 5. For sure. Fleshy souls and bony spirits. Wow.
That reminds me of Bravely Second with all of the ball busting that's happening.
Yeah, man. Like, what is going on over here? That's craziness. That sounds like an episode title right there. Is bony. What is it?
Bony spirits bony and fleshy souls.
There you go. That is. If that's not a episode title, I don't know what it is. It's. Wow. So Sean, did you play the first one?
The Yo-Kai Watch?
Yeah.
No, not even a little bit.
No.
Sorry.
And Jesse, you didn't either, did you?
I played the demo through its entirety and said no.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's good. It
wasn't just appealing to me at all.
I've heard that the demo was not a good representation of the final product, but yeah.
I believe that.
And Marty said it was good.
Marty liked it. Marty enjoyed it.
I don't know, man. So we'll see. But I don't know.
And there's going to be a season 2 of the anime as well coming out along the same time.
That's good. My son, actually, I watched some of that anime, and it is pretty hilarious, actually.
I've never got around to seeing it.
It's pretty good. I do like it.
End of the recording, like the first dozen episodes, and they said, okay, delete, because I'm never going to watch them.
Yeah.
Do they have anything on, like, iOS or on any, like, is there any other way to access Yo-Kai Watch stuff? Like, we got to...
There is a Yo-Kai Watch free iOS and Android game.
It's basically a Match 3 game, though, isn't it?
Wibble Wobble.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I tried that. It's basically like a Match 3 type game.
Yeah.
Which I'm not super excited about.
If there are more, I don't know. I'm not exactly following the franchise.
Yeah.
But that one at least had, you know, that had like commercial backing on other Cartoon Network shows.
Yeah. So,
which always scares me whenever you see a commercial for an iOS game. That means they're making way too much money.
Oh, I know.
For a free game.
Especially when it's, I'm sure everybody and their dog has seen Arnold Schwarzenegger hawking some mobile game, whatever that is. Like that, it's like, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger, what are you doing in this Farmville commercial or whatever it is? What is it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just, oh,
Mission Strike.
Yeah. You haven't seen those? They've literally been like the advertisement on YouTube for me for like the past 6 months. It's bad. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in an elevator. It sounds like.
Maybe it's just a Canadian thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? You know, because Canadians just love their Arnold Schwarzeneggers in elevators.
That and Californians.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Yo-Kai Watch 2, September 30th. Prepare yourselves for more Yo-Kai Watch. Apparently, Yo-Kai Watch 2 actually is significantly better than the first one. So I'm excited to see what changes there are and what the consensus is. I don't know. What do you think, Jesse? Are you bony spirits or fleshy souls? Are you bony or are you fleshy?
Wow, that's loaded.
That's loaded, yes. Bony or fleshy, it is loaded. That's for sure. Moving on.
That sounds like a great intro into some psychoanalysis.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Finally, we've got a couple of things here. We've got some DLC or some updates. Mario Maker has an update. Jesse, you said there's not much there to talk about. It's just an update.
Yeah, mostly with the sorting and filter engine.
Yeah, so some UI changes mostly, and menus and such. And then there's an update for Hyrule Warriors and the actual first DLC pack for Hyrule Warriors Legends is also available. On Hyrule Warriors for Wii U, you've got Medley, who is now available, who is that bird girl from Wind Waker. And on 3DS, she's also available, but there's also a DLC pack for 99 cents, which is like a new Wind Waker map, all that jazz, so... if that is interest to you, that is still, honestly, for me, I have gotten more out of that game than just about any game that I have gotten on the 3DS for quite a long time. So it's pretty awesome. Right on. Okay, should we head into what we've been playing? Do it. No. Don't say it. Stop it. Oh, gosh. There you go. Jeez. Professional going on here. Right on. Sean, being the guest here, why don't you go ahead first with what you've been playing?
Okay. Well, I mentioned some ball busting before, and I have been playing some Bravely Second lately on my 3DS. I've actually wanted to jump into Hyrule Warriors, and I'll just say, jumping off of that last story, I really wanted to. I was waiting for it to come out on the 3DS, so I passed up on the... Because I feel like that's really the game for me, just to slash a couple enemies on the way into work on the bus. I feel like 3DS is the home for that kind of game. So by the time I made up my mind about that, it was a little while before it came out. Then the reviews came, and I realized I probably should open my new 3DS. I bought one of the Majora's Mask new 3DSs, the special limited edition, but it's still in the box. I haven't opened that or a few of the other collector's editions, but this game might make me either open it or buy just like a new black 3DS just so that I can play that. I really want to jump into that game. But in the meantime, while I'm totally paralyzing myself with choices like that, I've been playing. This is a little insight, Zach. You and I could go on forever. You could just like dive deep into this weird brain of mine. But I've been playing Bravely Second, and my history with this series is probably not unlike a lot of people out there, where I played the first one for 20 or 30 hours, pretty much got the gist of it, and then kind of put it aside. I haven't quite got there yet with Bravely Second. I actually kind of like a few of the improvements that they've made.
So you didn't there's get to the twist ending and right on the first one, huh?
No, but they spoil everything at the start of. They basically are unapologetic. If you didn't play to the end of Bravely Default, they don't care. They tell you the entire story, catch you right up, which I actually appreciated. But it was kind of funny. They skipped the spoiler warning.
Okay. Well, you know how the first one kind of ends, or around like the last quarter of the game?
I do now.
Don't they basically redo everything? They make you replay the game, basically?
Yeah, you pretty much almost start over and go through everything, and there are side conversations with the characters. I'm like, didn't we already do this once? What's going on? And
Didn't realize that. That's awful.
Wow.
That's terrible.
But because you're higher powered, apparently things go a lot faster. But, you know,
sure.
I didn't get very far. I only got through most halfway through the demo. I rented the game. Got like to the second dungeon and couldn't beat it because I had the wrong set of jobs. And right. Like, I really don't want to grind jobs just to beat the boss. So I packed it up and returned it.
That's a real possibility with these games too. Like, if you're not really used to the job sort of mechanic, you can definitely choose the wrong one. There are wrong options.
And I've said this before in the show, but I've never been a fan of job systems. The only one that I really enjoyed was Dragon Quest IX.
Can you change jobs on the fly though, or do you basically have to like, are all the jobs different experience gauges, for lack of a better word?
Each job will have a different level. So if you are a level 5 white mage and want to switch to a ranger, then you're back to level 1 and you got to start that over.
Right.
But if you can go, you can go back to the white mage and you're level 5 again.
Okay, that makes sense.
So grinding is made a little easier in this one, I think. I was worried at first when they introduced the game very similarly to the very first one. I was worried actually about the characters that you start out with. Things change. I'm okay with how things have progressed, at least with the story. And then they introduce some new ways of doing battle. So you can sort of scare away enemies or will them away, like with a Jedi mind trick of saying, like, we are not the enemies that you're looking for. So nobody will find you. You're not jumping into these surprise attacks. You can actually go around and explore, which I find is really helpful. If all you're doing is just kind of going back and forth and you don't want to get trapped into a battle. Or alternatively, if you find an area that is really good for grinding, you can crank that thing all the way up. You take 3 steps and you're jumping into a battle. And so I like that. And then the other thing that they added was you can sort of do a risk-reward thing where if you manage to take out all of the enemies in one turn, you can risk it and try for another battle. And you'll get a multiplier on your experience points. And so you can start to do that. You can chain that together by trying to get one character to maybe use all of your braves and doing multiple attacks, taking out all the characters in one turn. Then you get a new group of characters and you do that again. So you start to chain things together. And it made it just kind of brought a little bit of gambling to the whole idea of the fighting system, the battle system, which I really came to like. I can choose, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try and do 4 or 5 of these things in a row. Or, you know what, I'm not in the mood. I just want to go get that treasure that I've been trying to get to and just kind of deal with it that way. So it adds a little bit of variety to it. I was thinking originally that it seemed like a bit of a Band-Aid solution on what I think some people might have been complaining about the original game. They didn't really change it. They tweaked it a little bit. I liked it at first. I'm about 20 hours in, I guess. It's starting to get right back to where we were with the first game, where I'm like, I think I might be done. But I'm liking it. I am liking it. I just, there are so many other things that I'm not playing while I'm getting to this. But it was a nice return to this world. I think that it's a lot of it reminds me of Chrono Trigger and some of the older, like those style of games. That even the music is like a cross between Chrono Trigger and some Final Fantasy battle music. I often find myself like playing the music in my head and hearing those older games instead of instead of bravely second. So, but I'm loving it, man. I'm just digging it. And I recently got a library card so that I could rent video games from the library.
Nice.
And so I rented Xenoblade Chronicles X. So I haven't jumped into it just yet, but probably right after this, I'm going to try that for the very first time.
Right on. How is that?
Probably one you're going to want to renew a few times.
Yeah, I know. And it came at the worst time too, because I'm playing this and I've got Uncharted on the go as well. So I don't know when I'm going to get to this thing. I've got it for 3 weeks, so I'm going to try and cram this in.
How is the Edmonton Library like thing for games and stuff?
So not only do we not have to deal with Trump possibly being a political leader here in this country, we have an excellent library system.
Wow.
So and healthcare. Number three, healthcare is pretty good too.
Yeah.
The library is awesome. Like, I just go on the website and all you get to do, like, you can just search Wii U. And I mean, it's not really a secret. Not everybody and their dog has a Wii U, but they've got all the same number of copies as they do for Xbox games or PlayStation games. And you just put down a hold, and the next day it pretty much appears. It is so easy. I know what they're trying to do. They say, here, we have video games. Come on in and look at all these books over here. We also have books. And I'm like, I'll just take the video games.
Whatever, lady, if I wanted to read.
If you're not interested in those, there's at least the graphic novels over on this side.
Exactly. They've got, I think they have Xbox, I was going to say Nintendo Power, but they've actually got current video game magazines as well. So I'm just like tunnel vision whenever I go into this library, and you have to go talk to a real person. If you have books on hold, you can just go take it off the shelf. It's got your name on there and you can rent it out. But with video games, you've got to go, I don't know, put your ego at the door, check it, and walk up to a real person and say, I'd like to rent a Nintendo video game, please. And I usually do it coming from work. So I dress fairly professionally, shirt and tie and everything. And here I am walking out with, a few weeks ago, I did Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, and I just did Xenoblade. Yeah. Good times at the library.
Nice. Right on. That's cool. Yeah. That's a good pro tip. I think, you know, it was like that in Lethbridge too. So like they had a pretty good selection as well. So, pro tip for everybody out there, just go to your local library if you haven't, and interact with human beings and look an old lady square in the face and say, I want this video game, please. And no, this is for me, not my child, or, you know, I don't know.
And there's a pretty extensive, library network in, you know, Johnson County where I live as well. And, very similar, you can, search on the website, and if they don't have it at your location, but they have it at another location,
yeah, they'll order it.
Yeah, they do everything for me.
They'll send it to you, send it to your preferred location, and get it on the hold rack.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I make sure to sort of show my wedding ring like really conspicuously, just making sure that they see that yes, I am actually married, like not just living in my mom's basement.
Nice. Right on.
I just live in my own basement.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Right on. I live in my wife's basement and play video games. Right on. Cool. Jesse, anything else, Sean, you've been playing?
No, I mentioned Uncharted 4, and I just finished that up. But I've got Doom in the wrapper, and I've got Xenoblade on the go. So I think that's enough for now.
Nice.
It causes me enough stress. And,
yeah.
Like, my
yeah.
fun leisure time.
Right on. What about you, Jesse? What have you been playing?
I haven't actually been playing a lot, though, you know, Tuesday, I've had to wake up at 4 a.m, go to the airport, take a 6 a.m. flight to Chicago for meetings that we broker around 3 to go back to the airport to fly home at a 6 o'clock flight PM, and I was home by 8:30. So it was a nice day trip to Chicago.
Gosh, dude.
I don't want to do that again, but I did have a lot of time to play Super Metroid on the plane.
Nice.
Nice.
So I got it maybe like halfway through it before Tuesday, and I, you know, just by the end of that day, I had Ridley beat, and then I ended up finishing the game yesterday.
God, no big deal, right? That's another reason I want to open my new 3DS. Some of the Super Nintendo Virtual Console games.
Yeah, dude.
We'll talk more about that with the retro show.
Yes, I can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right on, dude.
And did I talk a few weeks ago when I said I wanted to play this Twilight Princess HD, put the disc in my
system? Yeah, your disc drive or something was wonky.
Yeah, so I've decided, and since I'm getting Sharp FE physically, I'm going to need the thing to work.
Oh, did you send it down the river? Did you put it in the back?
Not yet, but I'm going out of town again next weekend. So while we're not home for 5 days, why not have the Wii U not be here either?
Yeah.
That's a good time to get it sent out.
When I sent mine away, dude, it felt like sending it down the Nile in a wicker basket is what it felt like. please come back in one piece. Oh gosh.
I think my Wii got sent 3 times. I must have sent 3 or 4 DSs and 3 DSs over the years.
Oh man.
So
You're used to it, man.
I'm used to the process.
You become desensitized.
Right. Do you guys also send it to Washington, or do you guys have something in Canada?
I think they have a place in Ontario somewhere that we send it to, don't we? Have you ever had to send anything to Sean?
I don't even want to jinx it. I want to knock on wood.
Yeah.
I've never had to send in any Nintendo product ever. Everything still works 100%.
Yeah, it was only the one time that I had to do it.
In the Wii's case, the first time was, I had a launch model Wii, and then Smash Brothers came out. It's the first dual-layer disc. Surprise! I can't read it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I got my Wii. I remember when that was so difficult to get, and I used to work at the Best Buy here. It was actually called Future Shop here in Canada, and I would troll around the customer service desk to watch if people were returning their Wiis. And I had the perfect timing. This woman came in and she said that her kid was misbehaving and she's returning the Wii. It works perfectly fine. So she returned it and I went and grabbed it, put my name on it because we weren't allowed to buy them new. They were making sure that they had enough for customers. I grabbed the return. So it's actually a used Wii that I have that still works. I've got it in my bedroom right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, actually. That's pretty awesome.
You had to be devious back then, 2006.
Wow.
You have to figure out a way to get your Wii.
Yeah. Well, I ended up getting mine because you couldn't find it anywhere in stock. Finally, and of course, Walmart website decided to be devious themselves. And sure, we got it in stock, but you can't buy it by itself. No, you've got to pick 6 games to go with it. So I still had to buy like a $500 bundle to get this. Of course, I think 2 of the games I kept, the other games I kind of returned back at a physical Walmart, saying, "Yeah, can I get credit for these?" And then I turned those in. No, it wasn't Red Steel. I was like, "No, I don't remember." This was like February 07 when I did all this. So
okay,
but then I ended up turning the credit back into like more extra Wiimotes. So Walmart still had my money.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Right on, dude. Cool. So anything else, man?
I think that's it. And then I have another, so again, I'll be going on another road trip coming up soon, and I've already got a game picked out to play for that. I'll save that for next time.
Cool. Right on. As for me, I am 2 weeks into a 3-week course, so I have not really played much of anything. Which, by the way, taking a 3-week course that usually takes like 3 months to do, actually, is surprisingly less painful than it sounds, but it's my entire life. So yeah, but I guess it's manageable. So, but I haven't really had much time for games.
You only have 2 papers to write instead of 12.
Well, the nice thing has been, at least for this class, is that it's like, oh, well, they seem to know that it's ridiculous to have this much content. And so the assignments are much shorter than they normally would be. So,
So
that's nice, but I haven't really had a whole lot, although I'm excited for the 24th this week. Overwatch is coming out, and it's good times. So I'm looking forward to that. Have you seen much of that, Sean? Are you interested in that game at all?
I am, and I didn't think that I was going to be. I thought that this whole wave of hero shooters was going to be fairly uninteresting to me. I'm not the biggest online player. I generally when I play first-person shooters, I will play the campaign, dabble in the multiplayer, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. So I have been mostly marginalizing these games in my head, mostly as a defense mechanism probably to keep me away from more games, knowing just my backlog continues to grow, and I tried the beta and I really, really liked it. And when I was talking about my Uncharted, I did a review for Uncharted 4 on WeTheNerd.com, and I was reviewing the multiplayer part. And for me, as a non-competitive, like I don't have the world's greatest kill death ratio. I don't really have like all those stats. On paper, I look like a really bad, actually, and in play, I look like a really bad multiplayer player. But with Overwatch, I liked kind of doing more of a support role, where the fact that they have so many different types of characters and all the different types of classes, there are so many ways to contribute to your team. So even if you're not, like, even if you can't hit the broadside of a barn, you can still contribute in a way that's really meaningful and you're rewarded in all the right ways. All of that. Plus, it's a gorgeous looking game, very smooth, very polished. This looks to be an excellent game, and I was very surprised by it, at least on the beta.
Totally. Well, even just like the variety of ways to run around and all that kind of stuff, right? Like your different transportation abilities, or like Tracer, you can kind of teleport and blink all over the place, and grappling hooks with Widowmaker, or you can be like Reinhardt, who's like this huge, like, combination of like a huge knight but also Iron Man with like a huge projected shield and a huge hammer, right? Like, there's so the characters in this are, I think, the huge draw, and just it is so much fun to play. Even if you suck at it, it's just like, oh well, crap, you never feel like you're cornered, because, well, I'll just change my character then, because clearly this one is not working in this situation. So,
and I was, when I first saw the character select screen, I was like, how am I even supposed to decide who I want out of these characters? And then you look, just, it takes maybe just another second, but the layout is so nicely done. It's so easy to see, okay, these are kind of like your standard attack guys. These are your meds. These are your, like, all the different classes are nicely divided, and there's no really elaborate explanation that is needed. It's all visually displayed, and I could see which characters I wanted based on just a couple of icons. And that is just, I don't think anybody really notices things like that. And that's the most powerful visual design to me, is when you can figure out which character out of, what are there, 25? I'm like, yeah, I think I want this one. And then it works. That's really what won me over with this game, at least in the beta stage. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it, and I was completely dismissing it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, by the end of the beta, I was like, okay, I know what kind of character I want in which situation, and, you know, basically what to expect, what my role is when I'm playing a certain character. And it, again, like you said, it's all just very intuitive, sort of, okay, like, this is just what makes sense, right? Like, you eventually figure out, okay, like, I want to play Bastion when I'm on defense, or Torbjorn, who's like the turret guy, or like certain characters for offense, certain characters for defense, all that. So really excited for that. Totally not Nintendo at all, but if there is one company that I love with video games, it's Blizzard. Like, that is my other, definitely, that is my other love other than Nintendo. So that's really all I've been. I mean, I didn't even play it. We just kind of talked about it, but I'm looking forward to the release of that. And
it's huge.
It's gonna be pretty awesome. So, right on. Well, and of course, Justin. He's not here. He's playing something like this, though, I think. Where is it? There we go. We'll just take a musical break for Justin. Yeah. All right, that's good enough. Justin, we miss you. Enjoy your time in Australia. Throw a shrimp on the Barbie and all that stuff. I don't know. I got nothing. All right, let's head into some community spotlight, shall we? Maybe. Hang on. All right, that'll work.
Was right that what on. You wanted?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It was better than the one I played last time. right on. So, community spotlight, of course, is where we talk about. We turn the mic over to our guests and let them talk all about what they're doing. And of course, Sean, with you here, it's only natural that we would turn the time over to you. So tell us a little bit about We the Gamer Cast, If We Ran Nintendo, the whole shebang.
Sure. So this is always the weird part for me, because on my show on We the Gamer Cast, I sort of let somebody walk into the room. We grab a cup of coffee. They lay out on the couch, and I learn all about them. So anytime I do a guest show on somebody else's podcast and they say, tell us about yourself, I'm like, no, this is not how this works. I ask the questions and you bare your soul to me. So I always get a little... Yeah, exactly, right? But that really is the gist of We the Gamer Cast. It wasn't too long ago that
just
I realized...
Just be glad Zach doesn't have the couch to lay in.
Well, I was worried about that, and I guess it's probably not... Maybe one day. We the Gamer Cast was sort of born out of an obsession of podcasts that I've had for, I don't know, probably about 5 or 6 years now, and my... I don't really listen to music anymore now. It seems like my entire day is filled with podcasts, either weekly podcasts or even daily podcasts. And I started with some comedy ones where I'll be riding the bus and they're telling jokes and I'm cracking up and everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot. So We the Gamer Cast
accomplished.
Totally right. Yeah, I guess they can now they understand me. We the Gamer Cast was born out of an obsession of podcasts over the years, and then also going to Comic Cons. I've been to New York Comic Con. I was at San Diego this past summer, and when you're around like-minded people in a lineup for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes depending on what panel you're looking forward to, you just find yourself in conversations with people, and it sort of dawned on me that would actually make a decent podcast. I look at shows like this and, you know, a number of the other ones, a number of the bigger shows. You guys do it better than I ever could. This is the best Nintendo news show that I could ever want to listen to. And so for me to even try and replicate that, I think is a disservice to me and your format as well. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. And what I ended up doing was looking at all the different podcasts that I listen to, and my format is actually a complete ripoff of a non-video game podcast. It's with Mark Maron. He does sort of a little bit of an intro telling everybody what's up with his life and how damaged he is. And then he jumps into a conversation where he just has a real like one-on-one with people.
Nice.
And so that portion of it is kind of like when you go to a GameStop or to an EB Games and you're talking with the clerk and you're just like, what are you playing now? And like, where did video games start with you? And kind of just get to know people on a video game level. It has been one of the best things that I've ever sort of undertaken. It also justifies being completely obsessed with both podcasts and video games. It's like a merging of both of those things. And I love the response that I got. I had Justin on a couple of weeks ago. You guys should check out that episode. Mm-hmm. We were talking about one thing, and the next thing we know, we're talking about some really deep stuff. And I, you know, when people say to me, I've never said this to anybody before, I can't believe I'm even talking about this. To me, that's like one of the most rewarding things ever, because obviously, like we've connected on some level, or something is happening. And I'm not sure. I feel like the guests are feeling that, and the listeners are feeling that as well. And it
shows awesome. That you're making the guests very comfortable.
Well, I take my shirt off first.
I don't need to be that comfortable.
Yeah, okay. So we back it off from there. We find out.
But you know, if they're talking about things that they normally don't talk about, you know, they're in a happy place there.
It's been phenomenal, and it's been great, because I was worried that after maybe 1 or 2 weeks, I would have trouble getting more people on the show. And like I said, originally it was to mimic that conversation having at a Comic-Con or people at GameStop. And what surprised me was that people with other podcasts were approaching me to come on the show. So it actually became almost like a talk show where like other stars, like other celebrities with their shows would come on, and you can kind of get to know that person on a bit more of a personal level, because I think with most shows, you've got your format, you talk about your news, you talk about what you're playing, but you never really get to know like what's at the core of that person. And so not that I have like any credentials to be doing any of that stuff, but I always find it really interesting to
ask
some of those questions. It's been
The thing about podcasting. You don't need any.
No, exactly. You know, have you ever heard, I actually discovered a podcast not too long ago. I don't even remember who the guy is, but it's called Off Camera. And it's basically, I think he's like a director of photography. He's like a cinematographer or something like that. Basically, it's a very sort of sit down and like really intimate conversation type show, but it's with actors. So like he had Robert Downey Jr. on there, and it's like super chill, right? Where, very similar sort of thing. It sounds like to what you're doing. It's really, really cool.
Yeah,
I really suggest
it. Like the Nerdist as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Chris Harvey. There's a couple of times where people will say like, are we recording this? And it's like, yeah, like we just started. Because there'd be, at first I would do a show and people would jump on the call and we would chat and we would kind of do the first kind of as if you're meeting for the very first time, which in most cases we are. And you go, okay, you ready? And then you stop and you do the intro and then everything changes.
Yeah.
And it's like, we just had a lot of momentum just now. So I often just tell people like, be ready from the word go. I'm not necessarily going to use that very like first moment as part of the podcast, but the conversation will pick up at a certain point. And then kind of go on for 45 minutes or an hour. And it's been, I just love it. I love the fact that I can talk about it with you guys. And I mean, I wouldn't be on the show if it wasn't for that show. And I just love it. So that's one of the shows that I do. That's on iTunes every Monday. And then that actually led to another show. I had Bobby Pauls, formerly the Geek Guru, the Nintendo Guru, you guys had on a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just this network of people that you meet of, you interview somebody and then they say, man, you got to get this guy on or you got to get this guy on. And Bobby approached me after, I think, 4 or 5 episodes. He's like, I want to come be part of the show. And we hit it off. Very similar to you and Mass in there, Zach. I think it was very, very similar. And so right after that, we're like, man, we got to do something else. And he had this idea sort of in the pipe. And I'm like, whatever you want, I will be a part of. So every week we pretend like we run Nintendo and we have a topic that either one of us have come up with and take on a topic from the community. Like, what would we do with Amiibo or how would we launch NX, which we did just before we learned exactly what was going to happen with the NX. So we don't pretend like we're going to be right at all, but it's one of those games I think that we all often play in that.
And that's the fun part about predictions is you normally not, and that's
way off.
And your listeners love it.
Absolutely, and they want to know.
They
like,
love watching how wrong we are.
They want to watch us burn. But I think it's a thing that we all do, whether it's on podcasts or just in our groups of friends or just even in our heads of why don't they do this with regards to this product or this project or what would we do differently? And I don't think anybody is really taking us overly seriously. I know that we definitely are, but are not. But it's really fun just to dive into these things more than just, well, they're stupid. They shouldn't do that. It's let's explore the entire issue from the ground up. Like, does this actually make sense from everything that we know about things? So we're acknowledging that we don't have numbers and stuff like that. So that's If We Ran Nintendo is on YouTube, iTunes, and SoundCloud.
Right on, man. Very cool. I'm gonna have to elbow my way onto your We the Gamercast show at some point. That'd be awesome.
Definitely, yes.
That'd be awesome.
After E3, I think we're definitely gonna have to do it.
Absolutely. Let's make that business. Am I allowed to do that? Like, am I a big enough hotshot to just like elbow my way?
Call my agent. We'll do lunch.
Nice.
My people will call your people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right on, man. Well, hey, everybody, go and check that out. That like Sean is doing some awesome stuff online. So thanks for being on the show, man. It's great to have you on.
I'm not just blowing smoke. This is a dream come true. I can't believe this is even happening. I'm so happy to be here.
Right on.
And I'm so proud that you guys are Alberta. Like, I mean, Jesse, that's fine. But Zach and Justin, like, the fact that, you know, Nintendo Dad, you guys are a thing. And then it's like, wait a minute, you're right around the corner. This is awesome.
I know. Well, that's the funny thing is that even, like, having you be in Edmonton, I'm like, well, wait a minute. You mean we could like meet in real life? Like that's
I know.
Yeah, that's you're actually like I could prove that you're a real person. That's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, we could high five.
Right on.
Poke.
Jesse and I will just touch webcams.
I'm still not convinced that Jesse is a real person, even though I've known him for years.
Jesse to Eskimo kisses.
Yeah.
Edmonton Eskimo kisses.
Yeah, there you go. Right on. Let's head into some listener mail, shall we?
Let's.
Right on. So, listener mail this week. We just got one email, and then we've got one more Twitter question as well. We've got an email from Chris says, "Hey, Dads, Chris here. Pricing on Pokemon cards have skyrocketed. This prompts my question. Now that you're a parent, how does pricing affect your gaming in your household? Wait, how does pricing affect gaming in your household? Can you tell of an experience when pricing affected a game your kids wanted that didn't include a game for you?" Ah, wow. First of all, Pokemon cards skyrocketing. Everything in Canada, the price is skyrocketing. It's ridiculous. I think last time I checked, video games, has Nintendo gone to $80 for a new game now? I don't know if that's they have.
And I'm not sure, Zach. Are you going to jump on to a Yarn Yoshi, a Mega Yarn Yoshi?
No. How much are those going for here?
I was driving by Toys R Us, and my wife and I were like, we got to go get one of those things. And we haven't checked the price until the lady handed one of four that she had at the Southside Toys R Us. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know these are expensive. How much are these before we just blindly pay for this? And she said $60.
Oh.
And I had to put it back. I couldn't believe it. I've never bought an amiibo handed to me like that. I couldn't do it.
I think here they retail for
$40. Oh, yeah, $60 is a lot. And I don't know. I have a nice shelf for my amiibo. Everything is nice and uniform. And this thing just does not fit in. I would not have a place for it. So I sadly had to put it back. It broke my heart.
It's craziness. The Canadian dollar is just I don't know. It's bad. I think it might actually be that the American dollar might be just be doing fairly well right now, and so
it's getting great again.
Yeah, and so yeah.
Making the American dollar great again.
Right. So I think I don't know. Maybe if that's part of it, I don't know. But it's rough. So. As far as now that you're a parent, how does pricing affect gaming in your household? So here's the thing that I think is important is that there is that becoming a parent, at least for me, also was accompanied at least a little bit by an increase in income. Not a whole lot, but even being a student, you know, my wife works as well. So it's not like I have an unlimited supply of game money. But it's like I have to make my decisions. But for me too, like doing this show, I feel like I definitely since starting this show, I spend more money on video games too. So being a parent, I guess for the most part, I decide what games I'm interested in and then I get my kids interested in those games. I think that's actually more what my strategy is right now. So
I think that's kind of how it worked with me as well. You know, when my kids were younger, you know, my oldest is just turning 17. You know, I've had my current jobs for just over 16 years. So, you know, she was 9 months old when I started with the company. And so, you know, at that point, we didn't have a lot of money. Of course, you know, at 9 months old, she's not going to be into any games yet.
Mm-hmm.
So during that time, I didn't do a lot of gaming either. We were just trying to, you know, get our feet in the ground. And then when I started getting into gaming again, when they were more like 3 or 4 years old, and my son got into some of my old Super Nintendo games. Yeah, but those were games I already owned. I didn't have to buy them, so that was kind of easier. I was kind of late in the bandwagon of the PS2 era. Actually, it wasn't too late because I got the PS2 fat, PS2 and GameCube, because I pretty much the previous generation, I pretty much just skipped. I had an N64, but, didn't have a PlayStation 1. So by the time the kids are older, I've been at my job for 7-8 years now, and I'm starting to get money I'm ready to throw, literally just throw away. And so I'm buying up a lot of games now, and now that the kids are getting older and they're wanting more things, I've actually bought less games this year than I did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, and my game purchasing style, I think, has always been Like, oh, is it like a first party Nintendo game? Then I'm probably gonna hold off. You know, like I've kind of bounced around for what my interests are. Like now I'm feeling like Kirby, like Robobot, I'm kind of interested in because my son was interested in it, so we'll probably get that. But other than that, I'm looking at like the Nintendo release calendar for the next several months, and I'm like, what is even coming out? You know,
right.
Like we've got whatever Shin Megami Tensei Tokyo Mirage Sessions, right? That I don't know if I'll pick that up right at release, maybe. But I feel like there's not a lot coming out, and so I don't know. I'm kind of grateful actually, because it'll give me more time to play Overwatch. Actually, I don't know.
Nintendo's doing a nice job of managing your budget for you.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and that's right. The thing. That's the thing is that
until
Nintendo
next
manages
year, until next year when NX comes out, and then.
Yeah.
The best thing about us believing that it was coming out this year is I already started putting money away as if it was coming out this year. So I'm going to be totally set by the time NX actually launches. I'll definitely have the money saved up already. For this sort of question, I need to revert back because I do not have kids. I have dogs who do not play video games yet. So I have to do what I do at work when everybody starts talking about the kids.
When they start to try, that's when it gets expensive in controller replacements. Mm.
That's true. Mm. I might have to get them. I might have to start them on fighting games and get them the giant fighting pads, and so one of them can be on the big buttons and yeah.
Or like Dance Dance Revolution style.
You know? That's a great call. We still have the pads. They're in the garage. We could totally get those things out.
Nice.
Just watch out for the claws.
I will have to revert back to when I was a kid, and that a lot of really the only time that I would get a game is a birthday and Christmas. And that was pretty much it. So I'm not sure if, I mean, my parents weren't gamers, so it might change a little bit where daddy gets his gift and his video game with his own money and you have to wait till you're, I don't know how that really works out. I don't even know if that's a possibility. But that was kind of how I was raised was, if a game was coming out, you waited a few months after that. If that was the one that you got. Now, the other thing that's different back in those days was, there weren't nearly as many games, so waiting was not a big deal. It was that was the one game that came out that quarter, and you waited a few months after that for either your birthday or Christmas, and that was that. So I don't know.
That when we were younger, when you knew you were only getting maybe two or three games, you made those games last.
Definitely. I still play
even
StarCraft.
If you hated it. Even if you hated the game, you still played that for 5 months.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and I think another thing that we started doing that my parents definitely did with me was – just with my 5-year-old son, we just this week were like, okay, like we're having a hard time getting him out of bed in the morning sometimes. And like, you know, like basically we needed an incentive for him to meet our expectations. So right. We went out, and this isn't a game necessarily. Well, it's not a video game at least. But we went out and bought like, whatever pack of like three packs of Pokemon cards. And we were like, all right, buddy. And we like printed off the little like check thing or like, these are all the expectations and we've got to check them off. And if he gets all of them checked off, then he's got like a perfect day. And once he's had 10 perfect days, he gets a pack of Pokemon cards. Right. So like that sort of a thing where he's earning it and he's, you know, that sort of a thing. And it's actually surprising how much easier it is to, you know, to get him motivated to do things like even things where it's like, we'll send him with his lunch and it comes home. It's like, he just didn't eat his lunch at school. And we're like, what the crap, dude? Like we packed you a lunch. Why don't you just eat your lunch? And he actually like eats his lunch now, which is like, I don't know. He may be throwing it away for all I know, but you know, but yeah, for the most part, it's just, I think that that's another part of it too, is that there's the danger with like with adults and you know, you're like, ah, you know what? I can just buy myself a game whenever I want. But the last thing I want is that for my son to expect that anytime there's a new game that comes out that he just gets it. And so right. I think that's almost more important to me than the financial side of it is the fact that I don't want him to become entitled. So.
Yeah. I think with my kids being older, you know, my girls very rarely play a game. You know, so when my son, the only game he really plays is all the Call of Duties. So while I'm buying one game a year for him, you know, buying the game and the season pass and a few, you know, whatever, you know, I'm still paying $100 for that one game. But I'm glad he is happy with the one game he wants a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to buy more games for him. You know, I'll still, you know, still buy the games that I want. And then, you know, like sometimes he'll try them out, especially, you know, he's been a big Zelda fan. I think he's told me he's played through Twilight Princess like 15 times. So he's looking forward to the new Zelda as well. And, but I'm not, you know, that's already a planned purchase for me. So it's not really a extra purchase for him. So right. That's not a big deal.
Right on. Well, Chris, thanks for your question, dude. Of course, Chris is always sending us awesome emails. So, thanks, man. Next up, we've got our Twitter question. Mush mouth is what that was. What are your predictions on the future of virtual console games as it pertains to the NX? That was from somebody else that I didn't get the name for. I'll find it in a second here. I don't know. What do you guys think? Nintendo or virtual console on NX? Anything? This is from Eric Plunk. There we go. Sean, what do you think, man? Virtual console on NX, is that a thing that's happening?
Like I think that for the NX to really take off, it needs to launch with a fully functioning, like everything. There's none of this trickling games out like a couple at a time. For Nintendo to really stand out and to make a huge splash, they've got to have everything available for purchase. Now, is that a prediction or is that a preference? It's more of a preference. I don't really see that happening. I probably see them doing more of what they have been doing, making a big deal out of a launch of certain titles, making you kind of pray that bigger, better stuff comes along down the line, and then we sort of find out that it doesn't. But to me, for the NX to really work, they need to, I talk about this on If We Were at Nintendo, they need to rekindle a lot of the love for the fans who bought a Wii U and maybe feeling a little bit burned, for the fans who walked away after the Wii or even before that. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and the way to do that, of rekindling that love, is to bring forward value and attraction in all the stuff that we grew up loving, all the way from the NES all the way up. And if this is truly a handheld or a hybrid of some sort, then there's real opportunity for them to have absolutely everything, for Game Boy to the DS to everything that you can imagine. Everything has to be available to me for this to really, really work. I feel like I've been maybe like I feel like with Super Nintendo games only available on the new 3DS, I get that they're trying to differentiate the new 3DS from the regular. But I just it's enough of this piecemeal and Death by a Thousand Cuts stuff. I just kind of want nice and easy. This is available everywhere, and everything is attached to my Nintendo account. It needs to be all inclusive and comprehensive.
Yeah, when I first picked up a Vita, I went onto the PlayStation Store or whatever they call it, and I was like, oh, hey, they got PS1 games on here. Oh my gosh, they have every PS1 game on here. Like, it's insane. And like, how come Sony can just literally dump their entire PS1 catalog onto the Vita, and I guess probably the PlayStation 3 as well, and PS4, mm-hmm. But how is it that Sony can do that, and Nintendo's like, well, here are three games for Super Nintendo on the new Nintendo 3DS. Like,
yeah, they were originally released for PS3, and then they also just happened to work for PS, and then they got it to work for PSP, and then because of that, they also got it to it works for Vita.
Right.
It does not work. Does not work for PS4.
Right. Oh, it doesn't work for PS4. Okay.
No.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
They celebrate it so well with flash sales all the time. Like every now and then I'll pick up six old JRPGs or Resident Evil games for 90 cents each.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
Well, and I was like I was on there and I was like, oh, hey, I remember playing Tomb Raider 2 when I was like a young lad, and then downloaded it. It was like, wow, this game is terrible. I hate this game.
Yeah,
like, it's so bad. It's the clunkiest controls ever. But I sat there and played it for probably an hour before I finally convinced myself that it was okay to just not play it anymore. Right. But yeah, like it was Like, it's crazy. And I think that you're right. They need to get a really big catalog up there as soon as possible. And also, they need to do whatever wizardry is necessary behind the scenes that means that I don't have to pay full price for any games that I've purchased before, whether that's on the 3DS or on the Wii U or the Wii or anything like that. I don't necessarily even care if I have to pay a dollar. Like, I don't care if they make us pay a dollar extra, but I don't want to have to pay full price for any of the games I've bought already.
I just bought Super Metroid for the full price on 3DS recently, even though I paid it the 30 cents for it on the Wii U.
Oh, is that how much it was on Wii U? You know what? That's probably right.
That was part of the original launch where they started out for 30 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And if it is,
wouldn't it be awesome if they launch the NX and they just say, oh, and by the way, all those games that you've bought over the years, you own them and you can play them over here. Like with PlayStation, they did that as well. They called it the Instant Game Collection. They sort of merged it with the cross-buy functionality as well as the free games that you were getting on PS Plus. Nintendo is a very proud company. They don't really like to steal a page out of somebody else's playbook. But this is something that Sony has figured it out. This is the right way of doing it. And if Nintendo does lift the logic from there, the tools that they have available to them are more powerful than what Sony has. The games that they have in their catalog are better. And again, you see some of those old titles, and if they're available to you, you will want to buy. That's a huge push for you to buy an NX right out of the gate.
Yeah, absolutely. Right on. So that is, any other thoughts on that, guys? I think that's pretty good. I think the other thing here, I had it and I lost it. It's gone. Oh, cross save, if it is indeed like a, whether it's a fusion, like the fusion sort of combined model, or if it is two different, you know, if it's a console and a handheld on the same platform, I think regardless, they need to have cross save on that.
Agreed.
Where you can just play it. Because I think that's one of my biggest problems right now. We're doing Super Metroid right now for Retro Rewind. I've bought it. I've played it on my Wii U. And if I could buy it on my 3DS and transfer my save from my Wii U to my 3DS, I would have bought it again. Or I would have even paid the dollar to transfer, you know, like if that was the setup.
So I'm kind of in the backwards of what you are, because I played through the game on the 3DS. What I would love to do is send that save back to the Wii U. I never finished on the Wii U. Yeah. I got stuck somewhere. Just so I can play through the ending again and then, you know, stream it, record it.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, totally.
Because I don't want to pay the $250 to mod my 3DS to do that. That's silly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially this late in the lifespan, right? Like, I feel like if we had some years left, I probably would pay to do it. But it's a different story. Right on. Very cool. Well, thank you, Eric and Chris Michael.
I found a few other Twitters. Alejandro from the chat, you told me that there was a few questions. And they were protected tweets, which is why we didn't see them before.
Oh,
but
wow!
So I have access to them now, and this was
oh geez, from
hack
the
his way in.
From the inside. Go for it.
So, what do you want from the NX? A new type of controller, or more focus on making great games with a standard controller?
Well, here's the thing: is that I think they did. If you saw the recent new slogan or whatever with the, what are the, like, shoot, I can't even remember what it's called, what the slogan is, but they have like the new animation for it that has the X, Y, A, B buttons on it. Where did
it go?
I don't
think I have.
I'll put it in the chat. It's, it was in like a recent 2DS commercial. It's called There's No Play Like It, but they have like a thingamajob here. I'll put it in the chat. Thingamajob is the technical term for it. This was a couple of weeks ago that I saw this, but it's interesting. Is this the new official? Wow, there you go. That's their new jingle.
That was musical.
Yeah, it was. So it's
Disney.
But yeah, it's got like a sort of XYBA sort of, you know, the controller button layout. Mm-hmm. And that's this new slogan, which I thought was actually really cool. The sort of new, the old is new again, sort of Nintendo slogan. I think they're definitely bringing back, they're going to keep the standard controls. Whether that means that they have a gamepad, I think is yet to be seen. I wouldn't be surprised if the new controller had a touchscreen on it. I think it might be smaller than the gamepad is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it if it was like a Vita for the controller, that'd be great. That's actually exactly what I want, is a Vita
type. Look at the shape of the rectangle, though. Like the rectangle that encompasses the buttons and the play. To me, that looks like either a smartphone or a Game Boy, kind of that vertical layout.
Could be,
I don't know if that's like a silhouette of the shape of what we're going to get. I mean, I may be reading completely into this, but why not? We got nothing else to do.
Right. Nintendo's not giving us anything for it, so.
Yeah, they won't. Right.
Yeah, there's probably like some secret binary code in there as well. If we look really, like, we can Da Vinci code this thing.
Yeah.
Some really hidden stuff in there.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think, I don't know. I do like what Nintendo has done with the DS, more so the DS and the 3DS than the Wii U. But I think they've done a lot of really cool things with the touchscreen. I think that the portable, they've shown that, like, I love the 3DS. I think the touchscreen on the bottom, the 3D capable screen on the top. I will be sad if that goes away, but I'm kind of resigning myself to the fact that the next portable is not going to have glasses free 3D. I just don't think they're going
to. Yeah, the 3D is gone.
Yeah.
It has to.
But if that means that we can trade in for a higher resolution screen, then I'm completely willing to do that, because the last thing we need is another like standard resolution screen on that. Yeah. So
I also wonder if we're losing the second screen now too.
Well, I think I've said something similar to this on the show before, but what I'm kind of hoping for is, you know, kind of like a handheld primary unit, you know, kind of, you know, what Zach said, similar to the Vita, that has a wireless HDMI so you can plug to a TV, which can be used as a mirroring or, you know, for single screen games, or can be used as a two screen gaming system.
Uh-huh.
It's like similar to Wii U, and that's up to the games to do what they want with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting. I wonder what they could do. I think you're right. I think that really, if they were to do just the Vita as a controller, basically, that is, for me, a good middle ground, right? Where you've still got the touch, you know, Optimus Prime comes in, or I don't know. Anyways, wrong the touch. you've got the touch controls. You've got standard controls.
I get it now.
Let Jesse process that one.
You caught me off guard. And I'm normally the one I'm not normally on this side of that joke. Normally I'm the one getting other people off guard. So this is new ground.
Oh, the taste of your own medicine is what that was. I think that's a good middle ground there. I have some sort of an idea in my head. I've had this for a while where it's almost like a second screen that kind of pops out the top if you want both. But if not, if it's like a two screen thing, like it's one or the other, and it's like a little like a pop tart that comes out the top for the second screen. It's probably way too high tech for them to be able to do it and make it work. If I were to do it and it, like there was this, if it was like a futuristic movie, that's what I would want. Almost like the cool, like futuristic flip phone sort of thing. I don't know.
Yep.
But,
you just want like Tony Stark's watch glove.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or like even in like the first Iron Man movie, he's got like that phone, but like it turns sideways for some reason. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, something like that where it's got two screens, but it kind of collapses into one.
Yeah.
Either way, I think I wouldn't be surprised if that's what we get, but I will be sad to see the second screen go if it goes.
Me too.
But yeah, as far as what was the other part of the question, Jesse, was it just what we want from the NX in general?
Yeah, that was one question, and then there's one more question. But he gave us like four or five questions.
Oh gosh.
But there's one more. All right,
lightning style. I'll just do the
one more.
Okay.
Should Nintendo build a cinematic universe like Marvel, building up to a Smash movie?
I actually thought for a while, like I had this sort of concept floating around in my head that they needed to do like that Super Smash Quest, right? Sort of thing where all of the different universes are connected by warp pipes. And so like for some reason Samus is like on a planet, all of a sudden there's a warp pipe and she gets sucked in and whatever, right?
That's the premise of Captain N.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, whatever it is, like I've thought that would be really.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been a long time since I've seen that show.
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever seen that show, but that is definitely.
You should. It's so horrible to go back to it, but.
Awesome.
Didn't he carry the zapper around with him?
Yes, that was his weapon, the zapper.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
That's terrible.
Season 2 brought Game Boy. That was horrible.
Wicked. Awesome. Okay.
You see them changing the batteries in the commercial break just before the commercial break?
No, but
before the Energizer Duracell commercial break.
Get the bunny going.
Oh God.
That's awesome.
I was thinking that's a bad idea, the whole universe thing, until Smash Brothers capped off that question. I'm like, brilliant. Yes, do it.
Yeah, it's like a sort of weird Mortal Kombat thing, maybe, where it's like it's just some stupid tournament. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right on. Yeah, I think it would be. I don't know. I don't know how seriously to take that question. I'll be honest.
it's fun to think about, though.
It is. Yeah.
When Mario and Luigi realize that their mother has the same name.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they're just like, oh, now we're and then they go on and take the world.
Oh. Your brothers, you fools.
Oh, so good. Which that's why it's so powerful, Jesse. That's why it's so powerful. Right on. Very cool. Well, right on. Thank you, everybody who sent us messages for the show. Just looking at our notes here as we kind of round out the show. Of course, a reminder that Retro Rewind this month is for Super Metroid, which is coming up this first. Of course, I think it's the first Sunday of every month we release that. So that's a thing.
Yeah. We'll be recording it on the first, and then it'll be first or second, depending on what day we choose. That depends whether we stick with Thursdays or go back to Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And then that'll be released on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
Guys, I love that you do that. That's one of my favorite things that you guys do. It's just so awesome to jump back to these games. Everybody's playing it. Everybody's on the same page. Little book club thing going on. I absolutely love it. I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about Super Metroid.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and we've got our Patreon thing as well for next month. What is? Oh, we don't have the vote yet. But if you're a patron, go over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. We've got the nominations up, and I think we're gonna throw the vote up there pretty quick there as well. So it looks like so far the nominations we've got: Punch Out, Castlevania, Secret of Mana, Donkey Kong Country, Double Dragon. All potential games. If you haven't placed your vote yet, go over there and we'll send out a vote fairly soon to see what next month is going to bring. So
Secret of Mana, watch these guys suffer again with another giant RPG.
That's actually a game I haven't played.
Oh, perfect. My gosh.
Learning from scratch.
Oh,
1 month.
That one's not available anywhere though, is it? It's not on Wii U or 3DS. It's on Wii Virtual Console, so I mean technically you could get it, but I don't know if that breaks our rules. I'm not sure.
Well, you can still access Wii Mode through the Wii U.
Oh, do we really want to open ourselves up to the Wii Mode?
You just can't use eShop credit. You have to actually. You know, and of course you'll never find a Nintendo points card anymore.
No, so, which means you'd have to
use your credit card.
And you'd have to buy like
a dollar patron.
Yeah.
You can vote at a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's worth a dollar right there, guys. $1. Everybody upvotes. You can ignore everything else. Don't disperse your votes. Concentrate. Let's focus.
For no other reason than that. Like, is looking at some of these other ones
you
on
shouldn't
here.
You shouldn't have said anything after Pokemon.
I know. I really shouldn't have.
Yeah, you let your vulnerabilities out to everybody to know.
That's okay. That's all right.
Secret amount. I can't wait.
Right on. So Super Metroid is for this month, though. And, of course, Adam Leonard from Mega Dads has been doing the cool Retro Rewind art as well. I don't know if we've posted the one that he's been going back from our old episodes and creating art for those ones as well. And right now he just sent us this week the Wario Land 2 art.
Cool.
It was cool.
Nice.
I really liked his I like his style. So he's got that. So we'll be sending that out to the patrons as well.
Oh, I forgot about this part. Secret of Mana, I can play up to 3 players.
What? Can you do that on Wii U? Or on Wii? I don't know.
Yeah,
probably,
yeah.
Hey? If you got to have the classic controller, though.
Yeah, you classic controller or the GameCube controller if you're actually using a Wii.
All right. Well, there you
almost
go, everybody.
Like tailor-made for you guys.
Oh, dude.
Too bad we can't. We can't play network, though.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, with that, everybody, of course, we want to just remind everyone, next week there's not going to be a show. Jesse, you and I need to figure out what we're doing for the patron hangout, but that probably will come out. Well, if we can get that done by next week, that will probably be in place of a regular episode. That's just because Justin's over in down under and I've got school, finishing up class and stuff, so
up over.
Yeah, so that's the first time I think since we started the show. It'll only be the second time we've missed a week, but hopefully we'll have the patron hangout by then. Follow us on Twitter and keep and we'll get the details to you. Yeah, right on. As well as if anybody, that's good. If you guys want to follow us on any of the social medias, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. Email us nintendodads@gmail.com, Twitch or YouTube. You can find us Nintendo Dads. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS at 929-256-3237. If you want some Nintendo Dads merch, go to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dads store. And of course, thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show. Sean Capri from We the Gamercast and If We Ran Nintendo, thanks for joining us this week. Why don't you remind everybody where they can find you as well?
On Twitter at Sean Capri, Sean like Connery, Capri like the pants, and I'll tweet out everything I'm doing over there. So thanks, guys, for following.
Nice, I love it. Right on. And if you want to change the world, which I know you do, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. We got some awesome reviews in the past month. So to those of you who are leaving reviews, you guys are awesome. Sean, I think you were one of them, actually.
Definitely. Of course. 5.5 stars.
Right. So everyone, be like Sean and change the world. And you too can make a difference. Of course, if you want to subscribe, you can do so on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and, of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Sean, for Jesse, and the missing Justin, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.